friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
What did you see on Sunday against the Bengals that went against maybe some of your preconceived notions, or maybe verified your preconceived notions about what the Browns were going to look like this season? And did it change your mind on anything? Did you, were there things that happened in Sunday's game that just said, yep, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen, or wow, that really surprised me? Jeff.
I was hopeful that the defense would look more like it did in 2023 than it did in 2024. And not that the defense was atrocious in 2024. It just wasn't as dominant. That, to me, Andy, was the best thing that happened in the game. That was outstanding. I mean, look at what you did against a really good offense in Cincinnati. And the Browns defense did a terrific job. And it had some help from the offense controlling the ball for a good portion of the game. But I thought the defense was terrific. And to me, that sets a really good tone going into the rest of the start of this stretch with these six games. Now, you get some really nasty opponents, but you have a defense that can compete at a really high level. And to me, that's the absolute positive that comes out of this game. That defense did a great job against one of the better offenses in the NFL.
They continue, and I said this yesterday, Myles Garrett, I think, has 12 of his 104 and a half sacks. I think he has 12 against Joe Burrow alone. So,
well, he does play him twice a year.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that's like, and no one has more sacks against Joe Burrow than he does, but you're right, they do play twice a year. But again, I still think that Myles is in Joe's head when they play against each other. I don't have any question on that. And I've actually talked to other reporters about it. A couple of reporters from Cincinnati were like, yeah, you're 100% right. And I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't sure about it. Because I still think Joe had a pretty good perspective on the fact that they kind of didn't win the game on their own. They just kind of did just enough to have more points than the Browns. And the Browns beat themselves. Remember, and I know we've talked about this before, we were talking to somebody who played for the Ravens at one point, and they said, you know, if you just go out there and field a football team and try to execute and maybe get a touchdown here or there, the Browns will find a way to beat themselves. That has been the mantra of this organization since 99. The question for the Browns, I think, going into this week was, when they walk into Berea yesterday, are the veterans saying, same old story, it doesn't matter what we do, it doesn't matter if the offense plays well enough to win, it doesn't matter if the defense looks amazing and plays the game of their lives, we're still going to find a way to lose. Something crazy is going to happen to us, and we're not going to win games. And you know, it's just, it's football. You just don't know what's going to happen. And some weeks, bad teams beat good teams. But the Browns beat themselves on Sunday. So let me go back to the original question. And did it hammer home any preconceived notions about the Browns? No. The Browns continue to give you 16 points per game, much like they did last year. League worst average for offense. In the league, they gave you exactly what you should have expected from last year, except for the fact that I think Joe Flacco put them in a position to win offensively. He threw the ball 45 times.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's good or if that's bad.
Normally that's bad, isn't it?
I would expect he's probably going to throw more than we'd want him to. And I don't mean because of Joe. The one thing that really hurt is that they just, like a lot of teams, though, in week one, ran the ball poorly. Like the Fighting Dan Campbells up in Detroit averaged about 2 yards a carry as well. Mm-hmm. That wasn't good.
So when you look at this thing, the quarterback question, like, to me, gets murkier as the season goes on. And that's the problem I have with Sunday's game. That Flacco could do this for 17 weeks. And he'll give you a chance to win every week. I just don't know what we're learning for the future. And I do think, and I'm probably one of the few that thinks that Flacco could play here for at least 2 years. That's me. I just think the rules have put him in a position to say, yep, yeah, I know he's starting at 40. I think he could start at 41 as well. But if you know next year you've got those first two picks, what are you doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? That's the question. And, you know, I want them to walk into the season and ride Flacco as long as they can, as long as they believe he can win and still give them some kind of hope that there would be a postseason. But we're all looking at these first six games, and maybe we should stop doing that. Maybe we should just look at the Ravens and forget about everything else. I just don't think, like, I think that's the way Kevin Stefanski has to look at it. Okay, Ravens. The front office definitely has to look at it from what's going on beyond. And Flacco may play well enough to give you the opportunity to win every week, and you may not play him because you've got rookies because you're going to need to see what you've got. I hate it. I absolutely hate walking into a season thinking that. But I think that's the hardest part about this game right now. If they win, it's easy to put the rookies on the back burner and say, yeah, you know, other rookies, let them, we'll figure it out. And it doesn't matter if it's Gabriel or if it's Sanders. You know, those guys are still going to learn. But Joe's helping us win, so why would we walk away from that right now?
Well, he's not helping you win yet.
No, I'm just saying if they won, but they didn't. So now, at some point, they're going to have to start the engine on the young guys. And I just, the longer that takes, the better they're playing on the season.
Can we hold off on that?
I'd like to hold off on that, Jeff, but that's what the season is about. And Joe looked good. I thought Joe looked good on Sunday. I think Joe can start all 17 games. The politics of this game and the pressure of this game are what are making me think, I don't get too excited.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
About
it. I'm not even worried about seeing the young guys. I should be, and I'm not. Because when they traded Kenny Pickett, I thought he was the guy who might be the guy who shows you have a quarterback for the next 5 years. More so than Gabriel or Sanders. So the minute that they traded him and they started Joe, I just thought, all right, well, they're taking a quarterback next year. And I can't think of anything that's going to change my mind. Because I don't think they're going to go to the young guys early enough to solidify, boy, that guy's awesome. That's your guy right there. Either Dylan or Shadur. I don't think they're going to get enough sample size to convince you that they're locked in as your starter that would make you pass up the opportunity to take one of the highly thought of college quarterbacks coming out this year. You know what I mean by that? I mean, I don't think you're going to get enough sample size to pass up one of those guys. And by the way, we'll be going over those guys coming up about 11:40.
Okay.
Our little college update on the guys the Browns might draft next year.
Oh.
Why? Because it's essential. I think that's where they are.
Yeah, but people get mad when we want to start talking little bit about the future.
That's all right.
It's hard to lean... I do believe in Joe. I'll be honest. It's hard to lean into what the future holds here, because that's a game they should have won. They should have won Sunday. And so let me back this out a little. What were your preconceived notions going into the game, Jeff? What were they?
Preconceived notions
about what this team is.
It was a question about the defense, and I think they answered it. This defense could be pretty good. That was my biggest question going into the season. My second was, what would the wide receivers look like? I honestly think it's still up in the air. We're going to talk about it a little more in depth later. But I know that three plays by wide receivers, four if you want to include Harold Fannin in there, four plays, any one of them might have cost you the game. The two balls that were tipped up by Judy and Tillman that were intercepted, and the two drops by Fannin and Judy on third and five and fourth and five. You execute any one of those plays differently in a positive way for the Browns, you might win the game. That might be the difference.
It's true.
And so along with the kicker missing two kicks, if those guys make those plays, that's the same thing as the kicker missing the kick. I think we all need to understand that. You know, it's so easy to blame a kicker because there's, you know, it's 36 yards, make it. Mm-hmm. It's an extra point, make it. You know, and the extra point would have just tied the game, but so you don't know how that's going to do. But the field goal would have won it, perhaps. But the same thing if that ball doesn't get tipped up by Tillman, if that ball doesn't get tipped up by Judy, if Fannin hangs on the 3rd and 5. So any one of those 6 plays, any one of them, if it got executed, could have changed the game. To me, those are player mistakes that can be rectified. Big picture, the defense showed me that it can compete. If the defense had gone out and given up 45 points to the Bengals, there's a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Defense didn't. Defense was good.
No.
That means we got a chance to be in every game. We'll see if they can do the same thing against a Baltimore team.
It's just mind-boggling to me to think that the Browns lost a game where T. Higgins only had 3 catches for 33 yards, where Ja'Marr Chase only had 2 catches for 26 yards, and they didn't win.
Joe Burrow threw for under 120 yards, Andy.
Yeah, and so
How do you lose that game?
Yeah,
how do you lose that game? By making mistakes.
As I laid it out, and I was thinking about, okay, what were my preconceived notions going into this? One, I thought that Flacco would give you enough to win. He did. I thought the defense was going to be good. I didn't think they were going to be as good as advertised.
They were better than advertised in one game.
At least they were better than. That's what I'm saying. This is a compliment, not a dig.
Yeah, they were as good as we hoped they would be.
Yeah. And if they stop Joe Burrow from bunny hopping out of the end zone, or the referee throws the flag on a holding call on the safety, which should have been a safety, they win. And sometimes you might say, well, the defense is going to have to win this game for us. Man, they did everything but, right? They missed one tackle inside the end zone on Joe Burrow, and they would have actually pulled that thing off. Oh, man. It's frustrating. Now, as we get into today, it's even more frustrating than it was yesterday for the reason why they lost. But all right, go back to the preconceived notion on this. I thought the Browns front four would look good, and they look great. They really did. I mean, all 4 of those guys look great. I was concerned about the offensive line. I am worried about aging on that offensive line. You know, you get a guy hurt on the offensive line. Now you're trying to plug things in. It's hard. That offensive line's got to do more to help establish a running game. And the running backs have to do more. I don't know how much pressure you're going to put on Quinshon Judkins to be Mr. Everything, to be Nick Chubb, because he's not going to be. Not week one. Especially when he's got 1 week of practice. So when you look at it...
That's assuming he even plays.
Yeah. So when you look at it, you have to ask yourself, okay, I thought this going into the season. They've had 1 game to change my mind. Did they? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call. We'll talk about that. Mary Kay Cabot coming up at 11 o'clock.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.